Welcome to A Quiet Life. I'm Ruth, your host, and today is episode 130, and I'm really, really happy to have your company. I'm recording this on Sunday morning, the 23rd of April, which is very, very unusual for me because I normally go to church on a Sunday morning, but I'm going to church this afternoon instead. I'm thinking we're having a special afternoon service. We're sending out some missionaries, so that's very exciting. And between that and Anzac Day weekend, I'm thinking there'll be all of five people in church this morning. All good. I'm not there. I'll be there this afternoon. Anyway, this is really a too much information, too much information podcast. I was just listening to what I said to Scotty and I got a bit distracted there by what he was saying too about early mornings. And yes, you'll hear. I'm very embarrassed about whinging. For literally months, I've been whinging to this person about early mornings, and then I found out that she takes off at that same time as me every morning, not just every second Thursday. Anyway, I'm telling you this after, before you hear it, and you'll hear it as I talk to Scotty. Oh, we're all over the place today. We're all over the place because of school holidays, and school holidays is great, but my routine is gone, and I like my routine a lot, as you know. Anyway, it's good to have a break from routine. It's good to have things moved around a bit, and it's been really lovely. Moz and I have gone away for a few days. Moz has been doing so much of the cooking. In fact, I think he's pretty much been doing all of the cooking for the last 2 weeks. So grateful. It's been very, very nice. And as well as that, I just want to let you know that Moz's dad is out of hospital and into rehab and continuing to heal. And that's really just lovely for us. So if you have been praying for us or sending good thoughts or whatever you've been doing, I just thank you very, very much. It's really great. And we have good news to share. So I think he'll be home literally in a couple of weeks, they're saying. So that's really exciting. So we are starting to get over all the crisis emotions that we've had, which means that I think we've both been feeling quite, not down, not low, but just that heightened emotion is gone, and you always get a bit of a kickback. Tired, I think, is the word we've been feeling. So we've had these lovely holidays, a lovely breakaway and everything, and we're both just like, when we go for a walk, we're like, oh, can't move. What's wrong with me? But I think there's nothing wrong with us. I think that's just the ups and downs that you get with life, and sometimes you have to just say, well, all of this time of crisis has passed and we've got to let it have its way with us and just be gentle to ourselves and gradually pull ourselves back together. So I'm trying to listen to my own hype. I think sometimes this is again off track on what I'm talking about for this podcast, but sometimes it's good to think of yourself as not as you, but as a really good friend of you and think, what advice would I give in this situation if I was my very good friend that I wanted to take care of? I hope that makes sense. But anyway, so I'm trying to treat myself like I would a very good friend and say, yep, give yourself a bit of time to get over this. But I did go to the gym yesterday and I am going to go after I record this today. And so I'm starting to get back into things and help my body to feel right again. So all of that is just a bit of background. Today I'm talking to Scotty about something that is a lot less emotional, but a really handy tip that I have found helps me a lot. And every time I apply it to a new part of my life, it makes that part of my life better. And I've been quite surprised about it. So I'm going to let you listen to what I say to Scotty, and then I will tell you what surprised me about it afterwards.
Hobart Soul Trainer 65, Ruth Amos is with me for Life Hacks once again. Good morning.
Good morning, Scotty.
How you doing?
I'm really well. How are you?
I'm doing pretty well, pretty well. I could do with a bit more sleep last night, but other than that.
I reckon you always feel like that. I was complaining to someone, oh, such an early morning, I have to go out and see Scotty. Because I come earlier than you hear this on the radio, I just need to let people know I don't normally sleep in past 8:30. And she said, oh, it's a wonder I don't see you on the road. I thought, oh, I'm such a wuss.
No, well, by the time you get in here, I've been up for hours.
Hours, so. I just drag myself out of bed, throw some clothes on and come in. Anyway, nobody needs to know this.
No. Well, the trouble with me is I'm such a late night owl.
Yeah.
And so I don't have the discipline of saying, okay, you know, to get my 8 hours sleep, I've got to be in bed by this time, so I need to get to bed. Like, I'll still stay up late and then just have less sleep.
Afternoon naps are wonderful.
I do that all the time. I do that. I know the kids tease me like, Dad, like, you know, you as soon as you sit down, you go straight to sleep. I'm like, oh, no, I'm sorry.
There's a reason for this.
Yeah. Anyway, we got distracted. What are we talking about?
We're talking about breaking things down into chunks. I was thinking about it. We bought, over the summer, we bought a paper shredder, and we have a backlog of bank statements and things that we needed to put through, but the shredder only ran for like 5 or 6 minutes, and then it would just say, nah, too hot, stop. which it said that on the box, so you know, so you could only do it in 5 minute chunks. But it really made me think about so many jobs in life are so much easier if you break them down into little chunks and get them done.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. That's good. It's like that whole head in the elephant, you know.
Yeah.
One bite at a time.
Absolutely.
The trouble is when you don't break it down into chunks, things can just seem so overwhelming, can't they?
They really can. Yeah, yeah. They just grow bigger in your mind. Especially, yes, a big multi-part job. You're starting to think about how you're going to attack the end part before you've even started the beginning part. But if you think, okay, what are the steps? Let's break it down and let's do a step and then look back and see how. Because we've talked about rewards before. Yes, we can give ourselves an M&M when we finish that chunk. But you could also just look back and say, oh, okay, that bit's done. Tick that off. Right, what's the next chunk of this job? And it just makes it easier.
Yeah. I've got a friend, and I won't mention names, but he's been having some mental health issues recently. And so his house is just completely out of control. You know, like it's just, there's stuff everywhere. You know, there's holes in walls, there's taps that aren't working. And if you looked at the whole house, you go, this is just overwhelming. You know, this is, you know, but I said, well, let's just start with one bedroom. We'll clean up this bedroom and we'll give this bedroom a paint. You know, like, but I know that once we start doing just small little things, that he's going to go, actually, we can do this, you know, just one bedroom at a time, one room at a time, yeah, and stuff. And it really is that simple, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, we've been the same with our garden. All our lives, Moz and I together, we've just let the garden get out of control. And then we said, right, today we really need to just get in and do it. And then at the end of the day, you're completely exhausted. You're sore. You've made some difference. And sure, it looks good, but you don't want to do that again. So you put it off again for another 2 or 3 years.
10 minutes every day.
But if you do 10 minutes every day, and one of the things I've learned from doing the garden is take before and after photos. I mean, you've got your phone, so just take a photo of how it is. Especially in your friend's situation, take a photo of how it is, work for 5 minutes and take another photo and compare the two. The difference will astound you.
Yeah. I get so frustrated with myself because I'll go in and do this, you know, job somewhere, and I'll forget the before photos. I'm like, that looks so good. And I'm like, oh, now I don't have any before photos.
Yeah.
But it really is a huge principle to put into your life, isn't it? Because that 10 minutes a day that you can work on something does save a whole bunch of time later on.
Yeah. Absolutely, absolutely. And also it stops you procrastinating as much because you're telling yourself, oh, I only have to do 10 minutes. So, you know, it's not like, oh, I really have to do this massive job. It's just, I only have to do this little bit. Let's just do 10 minutes a day, a little and often. So, and the other big thing is if you miss a day, you haven't missed, you know, the whole
job.
It's
like, we're in trouble. It's like, no, it's okay. We'll do 20 minutes tomorrow.
Yeah. So we'll do it tomorrow, yeah. I'll just do 10 minutes tomorrow. Don't try and make up the time, but you haven't messed up the whole thing by just missing it a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
Just do it.
But also, even as far as mental health goes, you know, like sometimes it can really get you down when you know you've got this hanging over your head all the time. You're like, ah, depending on what it is, of course, but it can just be a real weight on you. And to be able to just do a little bit by little bit, it kind of releases that weight, doesn't it?
Even if it's something you want to do, like I want to write a book, but there's no way you can write a book. Well, some people have written a whole book in one day. It can be done, believe it or not. But for me, it can't be done. But it is something I want to do. But if I'm thinking of the weight of the whole book, even though it's something I want to do, it's just such a big weight. But if I think, oh, I'll do half an hour every day of writing, it's just... It makes it possible. It makes it something you can actually do.
It probably keeps that freshness there too for you. Yeah, like, you know, if you were to have to write a whole book, then it'd be a real weight. Whereas, you know, you can come and go, oh, actually, I thought of this today. And, you know, like it kind of keeps creativity going.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I love it. For sure. RuthAmos.com.au. Thank you, Ruth.
Thank you, Scotty.
See you in a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
So a lot of productivity books are written for people working in the knowledge industry. And these people have projects that they need to do in their workplace. And I don't know what they are. I remember as a child really being curious about what happened in an office. What do you do in an office? Because I used to want to play office. And I just couldn't get a straight answer from people. They're like, oh, we do typing and we do filing. I'm thinking, typing what? Filing what? And I've got a bit of a clearer idea because now I do my own typing and filing. But I'm still like, when people say, oh yeah, I work in the knowledge industry and I've got this major project that I need to do, I'm thinking, what is that project? And then they say, break it down into chunks and make a Gantt chart. So I don't know if you've heard about a Gantt chart, but it's a graph of how you're going to attack this project. So at the very end of it, you've got the due date, and then you've got chunks of time that belong to different chunks of the project leading up to the due date. Some things that could maybe happen at the same time, so their lines overlap a bit or whatever, but you know, I've got to get this done first. And then, so that would give that its own bar. And then when that, the milestone for that is at this date, and then we're going to move on to the next part of the project, and the milestone for that is that date. And you can sort of break down your project into chunks and make a Gantt chart. And I played with that when I was doing my PhD, and you'd think your PhD would be an absolutely perfect example of this really big project that needs to be broken down into chunks. I had 3.5 years to write a thesis, and I was trying to figure out how to use the Gantt chart to feel more organized and feel more on top of things. But the truth of the matter was, with my PhD, because it was a science PhD, all of the milestones kept changing. There was no way I could say, I'm going to try and hit this or try and hit that, because I'd do an experiment and we'd get an unexpected result, and then we'd have to follow up on that result, and then we'd go this other direction. And then, and part of it was because my supervisor was just so brilliant at coming up with creative ideas of what we could do and what we could explore next and whatever, that it just was just mind blowing. And he's a man with a very big brain, Professor Jason Smith, astonishing brain, in the area of chemistry. He's amazing. So I didn't find that Gantt charts worked for me, and I still am a bit curious about them, because I feel like when you have a very big plan like that, that lasts years, months or years, and you've decided what you're going to do by when, I mean, it's a good idea, but life throws things in the mix, you know, like the month just gone with all the crises that I've had. If I was like, by the end of March, I'm going to do X, and April depends on what I'm doing in March, then April's stuffed up and so is May, because March was just a complete write-off. Like, I just didn't get much work done at all. So I'm not talking about being completely solid like that. And I really do want to push back a little bit on something that Scotty said. So he said something like, if you break it into chunks, and if you miss today's chunk, you can do twice as much tomorrow. And that makes logical sense. But what that ends up doing for a lot of us, I think, is leading to procrastination, because you've got twice as much to do. And then, so you put it off because you have trouble doing the first chunk. You're going to have trouble doing the second chunk, which is now twice as long. And so you put it off, and the next day you have three times as much to do, and now you're behind, and there's no way that you can ever catch up. So I don't think that way of doing things is particularly helpful for many of us. Maybe for some of us it works really well, but for many of us it doesn't. And so what I'm suggesting is not that you break your life down into chunks and then be really, really strict about making sure you do all of those chunks on the day that you've set it and whatever, and if you don't get it done, then you've got to do twice as much tomorrow. No, I'm suggesting that you break things into small enough chunks that if you miss a day, you just do it the next day. You just not catch up, but just start again the next day. And you've only missed a small amount, and so it only, if you like, puts things back or puts things behind by a small amount. And so it doesn't, in the whole scheme of things, make a massive difference, but it does mean that you get the work done eventually, because life happens. And look, if you're having a particularly good week and you want to do more than one chunk in a day, go for it. I'm not stopping you doing that, but just I'm thinking in terms of small chunks every day. So how does this work in my life? What's the surprising thing I was telling you about in the introduction? Okay, so the surprising thing for me was house cleaning. I used to have a cleaner, and I love her. She's wonderful, and she would come and she would clean my house for 2 hours every fortnight. And so once a fortnight, I'd come home to my sparkling clean house, and
Everything was clean and it was absolutely beautiful. And I really, really appreciated what she did. She worked like a machine, but she got a job. I actually helped her get this job. She applied for work in aged care and they rang me up for a reference and they're like, what do you think of this person? And I'm like, I think she's an absolute angel. I don't want to tell you this because you're going to employ her and then I don't get her cleaning my house anymore. But she's fantastic. She's just so lovely and so hardworking and she does a great job in aged care. She did get the job, obviously, and I've seen her in action and she's a star. So anyway, so then it was up to me to do the house cleaning because really I thought, you know, I am here, I'm working from home and it won't hurt me to get up off my backside from doing my knowledge work job in front of the computer and do a little bit of active work around the house. But when I first started thinking about cleaning my own house, I thought I needed to do it in a 2-hour chunk. So I would set aside time to clean the house and I would vacuum the whole house and mop the floors and do the bathrooms and it was, you had to do it in a particular order because you can't clean the bathrooms if the floors are wet and, you know, like it was just, it was a thing. It was a thing. It took a lot of brain space. And also something I've really worked out is I hate the sound of the vacuum cleaner. I really, really hate the sound of the vacuum cleaner. But I really, really appreciate the vacuum cleaner and how it cleans the floors. So at some point, and I think I did a podcast about this, at some point I decided, right, I'm not going to do this 2-hour method of cleaning the house anymore. I am going to clean the house in 10-minute chunks each day. Now, it turns out that they're more like 20-minute chunks in the way I've broken down what housework needs to be done. But either way, they're smaller chunks per day. And I've divided the house up into sections and I do one of those jobs every day. And if I miss one, well, because this is a maintenance thing and it's not even a project thing, so this works for projects, but it also works for maintenance. If I miss one, I just do it the next day. And so eventually I get through all of the house and then I start again at the beginning and then I get through all of the house. Now, I didn't really understand just how helpful this was going to be for me. Because yes, the house doesn't look all sparkling clean at one day in the week, but I know that every section of the house is getting clean and I know it because I'm doing it. So I'm not even trusting someone else. I know it. And that's nice. So I know the whole house is getting cleaned. But the other thing is I've had more energy to do the extra cleaning things. So when I was doing a 2-hour section of cleaning, I would only get the basics done. I would stop vacuum cleaning as soon as I could say, right, I've done the floors, because I hate the sound of the vacuum cleaner. So there was no way that I was vacuuming, picking up flies off the windowsills or doing the other day I vacuumed the walls in my bathroom. Ah, amazing. Like it looks like it's been newly painted. there are big housekeeping. If you're a good housekeeper, you're just listening to me and absolutely cringing, but there are big segments of the housekeeping that I wasn't getting done. I wasn't dusting, not every fortnight. I was doing it occasionally and it was a big job, but I wasn't doing it every fortnight in that clean, because by the time I'd done the basics, the absolute basics, I was done. I was over cleaning. I didn't want to clean anymore. Didn't matter how much podcast or audiobook I was listening to while I was doing it, I was done. There's another thing about the vacuum cleaner. You can't listen to a podcast while you're doing the vacuum cleaning. So frustrating. Anyway, so now that I'm doing just a little bit every day, even those extra jobs, the extra bits and pieces like the vacuuming of the top windowsills that nobody ever sees, or the vacuuming or the dusting of the bookshelves or whatever, that's all getting done regularly. Not every week, but regularly as I go through the little chunks. And that just surprised me. And it's not a big deal. It's not a big deal. It's not like, oh, I have to do the house cleaning now. It's the job I have. It's just like, okay, get up. And then I do it straight away after breakfast. Get that bit of the house cleaning done. House cleaning's done. Get on with the day. So it is one of the things that I do early in the day when my willpower is the greatest. And then as I go through the day, my willpower runs out and I stop doing these hard things. So it is one of those things, but it just works for me to do it in little chunks. And I was really surprised at the difference that made for me. So I hope that's helpful to you. Also, now that I'm doing gardening sort of regularly, and this is definitely not daily, and it probably my garden would be fantastic if it was. But if I'm just doing a little bit every week or every couple of weeks, and I'm not working till I'm exhausted, and I'm not working until I feel like, ugh, never want to look at this garden again, but I'm just doing a little bit regularly, like I just popped out yesterday and pulled some of the weeds that were annoying me, and yeah, that's about it, really, just pulled some of the weeds that were annoying me, and then garden looks heaps better, and I'm satisfied, and I can do a bit more today maybe, or tomorrow, or whenever I feel like it. So just a little bit, but do it reasonably regularly, and it makes a big, big difference. Whereas as I said, if Moz and I decide we're going to do a gardening day, then first we have to find a day where the two of us can actually spend a large chunk of time in the garden and are not called out to do something with someone else or have a family thing or have a party or whatever. But, you know, so you have to find a free weekend, and then we block out the weekend, and then you know you're going to get all messy and dirty, and so you just got to psych yourself up for that and all that. And then you get to the end of the day and your muscles are aching and you know, it's just like just a little bit every day. So then, you know, basics, housekeeping and gardening that I've been doing. And the other one that I didn't talk to Scotty about was exercise. Like, you can't train for a marathon in a week. You can't train for a marathon in a month. It takes a long time to do that kind of work. And even if you're not training for a marathon, but even if you're just doing a little bit, I mean, just doing a little bit more than what you regularly do is of benefit to your health. Just, you know, if you're a couch potato, then just getting and walking to the end of the street and back. And that's where I was, let me see, when my kids were little, like walking to the end of the block. In fact, when my kids were small, I did so little exercise. I was unwell. So, you know, there is that. And finding out what was wrong with me and fixing it really, really helped. But having said that, then my core fitness was so low that, yeah, I said to myself, right, I'm going to do 10 minutes a day. And 10 minutes a day is not very much. And if you talk to anybody, they're going to tell you it's not enough. But if it's more than what you're already doing, then it is enough. You do 10 minutes a day until that's easy, and then you can change it up to 15 minutes a day until that's easy. And then, you know, push yourself a little bit more. You know where you are exercise-wise. But, yeah, having been through the last month, I'm really thinking, right, I've got to do a lot to keep building up my general fitness, and I encourage you to do that as well. But you're not going to go from nothing to running for an hour every day. That's very bad for you, and you're going to get sick and you're going to get injured. But to just do a little bit more and break it up into chunks. And I was talking to a GP about my whole thing of doing 30 minutes exercise with a heart rate of 120 beats per minute, which is what my psych told me to do, which has been life-changing for me. And she said, yeah. But break it into two chunks or three. Do 10 minutes three times a day, or do 15 minutes twice a day. Don't try and do it all in one chunk if that's too hard for you. So I don't know where you're at. You might already be running marathons, and if so, oh, amazing. So yeah, I think this chunking thing works really well for your general maintenance tasks that are just ongoing, that you just do every day, and then if you miss a day, you do it the next day. And also for projects like writing a book or whatever those knowledge work jobs are that people do, or anything. Like, I think there's some jobs where it makes sense to work for longer periods of time because the setup and the breakdown are just so much a big part of the job that if you're only going to do 10 minutes, you haven't even finished setting up. And, you know, I trust you to apply this in a sensible way to your own life. But there are many, many things we're just doing a little bit every day, or a little bit every second day, or, you know, a little bit every week, or a little bit every second week, going to make a massive difference to the job in front of you, and you're going to actually get the job done. And so I just wanted to suggest that if you've got something that's really huge, that's bothering you, that's looming over you, that you're not sure how you're going to get done, or you're not sure when you're going to get to do just a little bit. Just put aside some time to do a little bit. When I started writing, I was working a full-time job. I didn't have a lot of time in the edges. I had two children at home, and I decided that I wanted to write. The children were grown up-ish. I'm trying to think, did I have two children at home or one child at home? Had Jess already left home? Anyway, it was around about that time. So they were later teenagers. But I decided, yep, this is it. This is what I want to do. I really want to write for a living. And so I couldn't do that. I mean, I just started a 4-year contract and I didn't have time to spend hours. And I just wasn't ready to tell the whole family to go jump so that I could spend all my weekends writing. Like I wasn't, I'm always fascinated by people who can do that. They say, oh no, I had to write this book. So I told my family to look after themselves for the next 4 months because I was going to sit down and write a book. Well, if you're that kind of person with that kind of relationship, you can, but I'm not. So I needed rest on the weekends because I was working during the week. Anyway, all those things. It was a big project. It was something I really, really wanted to do, but I needed to figure out how I was going to do it. And in the end, what I figured out was that if I made a big effort and got to work 15 minutes before work started, I could do 15 minutes of work on my book and then get into the day. So that's what I do. And as I said, my kids were teenagers, so they were getting themselves ready for school. And I think Jess may have already left to go to uni. But so I didn't have that sort of morning routine that I had to do. So I just pushed myself because I'm not good in the mornings and got to work 15 minutes early. And I put a 15 minute timer on my phone and I literally spent that 15 minutes writing. And then I closed the document and got on with my work day. And doing that got me a book written. And the book was written during my work time and I published it 6 months after I finished work. So all that 6 months would have been spent with editors and whatever, the cover design and all that kind of stuff. So I managed to get a whole novel written in 15-minute chunks before I started work each day. And it was amazing. It was a really helpful thing. And so when people say to me, oh, I'd love to write, but I can't find the time, I say to them, just 15 minutes a day, 10 minutes a day even. It's amazing what you can do in these very small chunks of time. And now I'm doing that with housework because I get to write all day. And that's pretty good. It makes me happy. So yeah, that's my encouragement to you today. If there is something looming over you or something that you hate like housework or gardening that you need to do, then do small chunks every day. Either break it down into chunks that make sense to you or put a timer on and say, I'm going to work for 15 minutes. And if it's a struggle for you to do that, then one really encouraging thing is before and after photos. So take a photo, work for 5, 10, 15 minutes and take another photo and you can see the difference. Or some other way of keeping track of, so for writing, of course, it's word count. You keep a word count check and see how many words you're writing each day. Or some way of saying, yes, I have actually worked on this. I can see it. Because as you keep a record of what you're doing and what you can see the difference, it may be a really minuscule difference, but as you keep track of what you've done, then you can see that add up, and it adds up to be a massive, amazing thing where you actually get the project done. So as you do that, I would love to hear how it works out. If you would like to tell me about it, you can write to me, ruth@ruthamos.com.au, or you can find me on Twitter at A Quiet Life Blog or on Facebook at Ruth Amos Author. Have you got a project that you are working on that you need to break into chunks and work on bit by bit? And as you do it, oh, I'd even love to see your before and after photos if you've got some. That would be amazing. That will encourage me as I do this project of a podcast. Please get in touch with me if you manage to put this into practice. I would love to hear from you and I will chat to you again soon. One more thing I nearly forgot. Need to tell you, there's a book fair on Saturday, May 13th at the Brook Street Pier in Hobart, Tasmania. So if you are around Hobart, Tasmania on Saturday, the May 13th, come and visit me. I'll be there from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. selling my books and chatting to people and generally being a nice smiling face and probably knitting. So I look forward to seeing you at the Brook Street Pier, Saturday, May 13th, 10 till 3. See you there.